5-game win streak. Beat the Philadelphia Eagles in overtime this past Sunday. And for all intents and purposes, wrapped up the division with that one. It's going to be really tough for the Cowboys not to win the NFC East now. This coming weekend, they're on the road, a noon game Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, a Colts team that, surprising a lot of people under first-year head coach Frank Reich. They are now 7-6. Andrew Luck has his wheels back on. He's going to throw for over 4,000 yards this season. And, you know, we can talk a lot about why they're better, but the thing that really stands out to me, just looking at numbers, Andrew Luck, who's been running for his life for the better part of his NFL career, has only been sacked 16 times this year. Their offensive line is much, much better.
Without a doubt. I mean, his rookie year, he was sacked 41 times. His second year, he was sacked 32 times. And in 2016, before he was injured, he was sacked 41 times. He then missed the entirety of the 2017 season. And I think there were real concerns that he was never going to play again. I mean, it was bad.
There was reports of him only being able to throw a Nerf football.
Right.
Basically,
you know, they were so over-leveraged around him as the first overall pick in the 2012 draft that they essentially had nothing for him to throw or to play with. Mm-hmm. And their owner is as bat-ass crazy as ours.
Ursa, yeah.
And he's been involved in all sorts of weird. The only difference, and this is kind of a bummer, the only real difference between Ursa and Jerry, other than, you know, Super Bowls 20 years ago, is it Ursa tweets?
Yeah, he puts it out
which
there.
Is just a gem. And I wish occasionally that sometimes I wish Jerry was a little more, because Ursa will give you a shirtless photo.
You talk about NBA players doing podcasts. I'd love to hear the Jerry Jim Ursa podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd subscribe to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Second.
The league would end them quickly. But he's wild ass. Their last GM was not good. Mm-mm. And as Peter King was talking to us about, Ballard is a much, much. It seems like he's much better for this job right now, and they've done a very good job drafting. Their offensive line was a priority this offseason. They draft Quentin Nelson at the 6th overall pick. This is an issue where Bob and I somewhat disagree. I have zero problem taking a guard as high as you want.
Yeah.
To me, with as talented as the league has become with inside pressure players, I mean, look, the best rusher in the game is a tackle.
Cowboys' best player, arguably, is Zach Martin when completely healthy.
Sure, yeah.
And he's, you know, kind of iffy this week with his sprained MCL.
Yeah, didn't practice this week. But just as far as spending a high pick on a guard, I get it. And I know that the conventional wisdom is that tackle is much more important. But to me, especially with just as much inside zone as teams run, which require your guards to be athletic, and with as much middle pressure as you see, I think there's nothing wrong with taking a guard at 6th. Oh. And Quentin Nelson, their guard out of Notre Dame, you know, obviously just like Zach Martin, has been their best offensive lineman, but they really don't have a bad one anymore.
Yeah, they got
their entire offensive line has performed very, very well for the first time in Luck's career, and voila.
They got a first-round veteran in Castellano.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been there for a while, but he's a first-round pick. So you have, you know, 2 ones and a 2 up front. I mean, that's better than most clubs in the NFL. And, hell, that's probably better than what Dallas is going to be rolling out this coming weekend when you're looking at the possibility of Suofilo at left guard, Looney at center, and, you know, if Martin can't go, Connor Williams is your right guard.
Yeah, I worry about Martin. Is the MCL, right?
Yeah. You know, it's the same one, but he was getting pushed around by Fletcher Cox this past Sunday.
And I almost worry that if they continue to play him, this is going to get bad. I mean, I don't think you can sprain or strain your MCL repeatedly without it causing long-term damage.
Twice in a month.
Yeah, I almost would say that this is the week where you sit him down.
Because, I mean, if you win, yes, you can wrap up the division, because odds are with Carson Wentz possibly out for Philadelphia, the Rams or the Eagles are not going to be upsetting the Rams this weekend. Rams are going to look to bounce back after a pretty poor effort against Chicago this past week. I think if you're going to pick a spot, and look, the Colts are good, and you want to see how you can do against a playoff-caliber team, but bigger picture, if you want to actually mess around and do something in the tournament, it might behoove you to rest Martin.
Yeah, and Connor Williams acquitted himself very nicely.
I haven't gone back and watched the All-22 yet, but I didn't notice him getting whipped.
That's really all you need to know, right? If you're talking about a guard who's playing the Eagles and you don't see him just getting blown by and having to commit holding penalties, I think he was fine, and I think he's going to be fine. Just got to, you know, going to have to be patient with him. But certainly with Travis Frederick not coming back this year and Zach Martin being iffy, I would, you're really, really going to need Martin in the postseason if you want to have an any sort of chance. So to me, that almost sort of makes sense. But again, on the other side, it's not just Quentin Nelson. The Colts also selected a guard with their first pick in the or their second pick in the second round, Braden Smith out of Auburn. So he starts for him. So they basically flipped their offensive line in one season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really happy about that because I love Andrew Luck. And I always have. And I know that when we used to do the Sunday show, that was one thing that we were both that
we were worried he was being wasted.
It just felt like he was going to have the type of career that you were constantly going to have to be arguing with people to convince them that he was actually good.
Just show them the playoff comeback against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Was that a playoff or late season? I forget. But
it was playoffs. They were down 40.
Four scores.
Ugh, man, it might have been. Was it four scores?
I want to say it was.
It was something insane that they came back from in that game.
And that season, he was must-see television down the stretch getting the Colts to the playoffs.
Yeah, four touchdowns.
Yeah.
38-10.
Yeah. That guy's special, and I'm so, like I echo you, I'm so happy that his shoulder is together and he's putting together a really good season because, you know, I mean, when you have more really good quarterbacks like that, it makes the product that much better. And Andrew Luck is positive for the league.
Absolutely. It's it seems like we're in a good spot quarterback-wise now, but he's still pretty young, you know, as far as NBA or NFL quarterback age. So I love to see Andrew Luck competing and them keeping him upright. As you said, he's only been sacked 16 times this year. If you just project that out, he'll basically take half as many sacks this year as he did last year.
So what sort of animal is Darius Leonard associated with, like Leighton Vander Esch is known as the Wolf Master?
I'm not sure, but I know they're both defensive rookie of the year candidates because Darius Leonard, their first second-round pick, they had three picks in the top 37 of the draft, and as we already said, they got two guards already. Both starting. Darius Leonard is out of South Carolina State is neck and neck with Vander Esch.
And he has seven sacks. Won't that tip things his way?
Yeah, it probably will. It probably will. I mean, I think that the likelihood is that. And who are we missing?
The corner, the defensive back out of
Derwin James.
Derwin James, yeah.
Derwin James and Denzel Ward for the Browns has been pretty good also. But as far as linebackers go, Vander Esch and Roquan Smith and Darius Leonard are all just studs. And speaking of Vander Esch, so Martin didn't practice yesterday, neither did Ezekiel Elliott, but Sean Lee did, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a good problem, man.
Yeah, it really is, especially I think it's just one of those deals that just sorts itself out. Yeah. You know, I don't think you don't want to have to play Vander Esch every single defensive snap. And you don't want to have to play Jalen every single defensive snap. So if you just, as a great man once said, cut that back a little bit and then use Lee in third down situations, because he can make plays and he can cover. I mean, I'm as excited for him as anyone on this team to get to play in the playoffs again before it all ends for him, because who knows how long he has left.
And it doesn't get talked about a ton, but Newberry and I talk about it on the pregame show sometimes. It's underreported that Jalen Smith has done such a good job on the communication front since he's been given the green dot, you know, with the coaches on the back of his helmet, you know, whenever Lee went down.
I was never worried about that, though, man.
He's a super sharp guy.
That's the thing. I was worried, you know, about his ability to run and cover, especially running backs and tight ends after last year. But I don't worry about his ability to keep it together. I mean, they have two guys who are both super cerebral and super, super freakishly athletic at the linebacker position.
You know why? It's because he has a clear eye view.
Is it, clear eye, full heart is the Friday Night Lights.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose,
yeah,
right?
Something like that.
Never got into that one, Sean.
Yeah, Jalen's got a new line of glasses coming out called the Clear Eye Views.
Boy, we are approaching 90s Cowboys status with now
Hot Boys.
Vander Esch is merchandising Wolf Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
The Hot Boys have their own.
Have you seen the sweaters they've had?
Of course.
I saw them up front.
Of course.
It's funny because they, who is it? Tank Lawrence was having Durant's Armstrong in the locker room pass them out to everybody as his rookie duties. I thought that was pretty funny.
That would be perfect for an Apex deal.
Oh my gosh.
Having that, the Hot Boys Apex.
Sure. Dude, I think Durant's Armstrong might be pretty good eventually too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, he's active over Taco.
Their defensive line has been deep and good. I mean, there was a big piece written in the morning news this week about how Randy Gregory, despite some of the boneheaded penalties, he's been arguably their best pass rusher over this win streak.
And
I mean, he's getting pressures. He's getting just as many pressures as DeMarcus Lawrence, and he's been leading the team in sacks since week 10.
Pretty nice little effort from Antoine Woods and Malik Collins, who had their own morning news article this weekend. I mean, they're
– And that's not even mentioned.
They're legit, man.
Tyrone Crawford, to me, is one of the most valuable defensive linemen in the NFL, because when Taco is out, you can bump him out into, you know, a pass rush situation, or have him bump back in and be a pretty decent undersized defensive tackle.
They can throw a lot at you. Now, the one thing that I do still worry about is, and we saw it with Nelson Agholor last week, if you don't think that T.Y. Hilton is going to come into this game thinking, I am not all that afraid of Byron Jones, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because Byron Jones has been very good. I think some of that, you know, whether it's Pro Football Focus or whatever, his grades are a little misleading. But you can't fudge the numbers that when targeted, he hasn't given up much production. But I also think he hasn't really been tested as much as I would like to see him tested.
Man, Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown has been a great slot corner.
Considering Jones doesn't travel, Anthony Brown's been tremendous this year. I think you're seeing Cheeto make plays. You know, Jordan Lewis made the big interception a couple games back. I mean, that's the one thing that I knew they had talent. I knew it would develop. I'm a little surprised the secondary is as good as they are now. And a lot of that has to be attributed to Chris Richard, for sure.
But don't you think there's a chance that you're going to see Byron Jones tested by T.Y. Hilton this weekend?
I mean, every week we sort of wait for the Cowboys secondary to give up some big plays. And you saw some late in the game against Philadelphia last week. But by and large, this defense is one of the best against explosive plays in the entire NFL, and that's been huge.
I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up, and I hope everybody doesn't panic if they lose this game to a good team that's leading their division, because they would still be in the driver's seat.
And you still clinch if Philadelphia loses, correct? Or is the or do you have to have a win and a Philadelphia
No,
loss?
You just need one of the other, but you also need
DC or Washington to lose as well.
Correct.
And that doesn't seem like
you need a big issue. But if you know they could both lose and you lock it up this weekend, and really it's probably about trying to get to the postseason with Zach Martin healthy, with Sean Lee healthy, and with a not 40 touches a game going into the playoffs for Zeke Elliott.